action of one man to launch a wholly unjustified and brutal invasion of Iraq. I mean, of Ukraine.
Are you fucking with me?
I am
just disagreeing with you. In America, we have the freedom of speech, the right to disagree.
Any human being, anywhere, is well within his right to do whatever is necessary by any means necessary to protect his life and property, especially in a country where the federal government itself has proven that it is either unable or unwilling to protect the lives and property of those human beings.
54, Pierce.
Jesus said, let your yes be yes and your no, no. Anything more comes from the evil one. Think about that. Even in the words you speak, there is a boundary. You don't need to embellish. You don't need to argue. You don't need to defend.
All right, what's up, ladies and germs? Welcome back to the show. I'm here with Brian. What's up, Brian? Good evening. A lot of times we do it in the morning. Now I'm doing it after Bible study. That was a shit show.
Oh, no. What did you do this time?
No, it wasn't me.
Okay.
It's just, it's mostly women, so... I go there with my wife. She does it with her friends from work. And it was like a soap opera. I don't really want to get into it. None of them listen to this, but you know what I mean? I don't want to.
Yeah. No.
It's better if I don't talk about it on air.
Don't
poop or at all. Yeah.
I hear you.
So... remember last episode I was telling you about my brakes?
Yeah.
So I put it off because it was snowing that day. And then by the time I ran to AutoZone, by the time I got home, it was freezing rain. I'm like, man, fuck this, you know? And so I got the pads for the front. Then a couple days, the next day was pretty shitty too. So a couple days later, I took the front tires off and I'm like, none of these pads look bad. So I took them back and got the rear. Of course, it was the rear brake pads, but they don't do shit hardly. So I think that was... so I did that a couple days ago when it was like 50 degrees. So it was decent. And that was probably the first time those have ever been changed and probably the last because it's 2008. So I don't see that happening again. But
so you're not worried about them dragging or something?
No. That shit was so rusted together, man. You know, like whoever – like, I think I told you, it sounded like it was in the back, and I'm like, nah, it can't be. Because it's always the front. The front handles, like, what, 80% of the stopping power. But, I mean, it happens. But I got it done. Feels good to have four good sets of brakes on all four tires.
Not be a menace on the road. Any more right. than you normally are?
Yeah. So. What have you heard about? Remember back in the day, they were demonizing lead paint because kids were supposedly eating paint chips.
Right.
So now. I don't know what year that all started. Probably in the 70s, maybe. Something like that.
Using lead paint or starting to ban it?
Starting, you know, all the propaganda about paint, kids eating paint chips and all that.
I don't
want to say it was 70s.
I'm recollecting it was later than that, but.
Okay. Well.
Didn't matter.
That's even better then. It makes more sense, but So that was, let me, so when did the first cell phones come out? 80, around that same time, maybe?
83, 85.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this whole, here's the, this is just a theory and a conspiracy theory that they're saying lead paint never caused any threat, but it blocks the 2G, and now we're up all the way up to 6G, but it blocks the, it blocks the signals. So they had no way to see through our walls or any of that with that lead paint. I mean,
I don't buy that.
Hey,
there wasn't that much lead in it to do that. You need a cage in order to block radio frequencies. So, lead, I mean, if it were lead sheeting, yeah. You know, because that's what they used to protect the astronauts and the spacecraft and stuff. But lead paint?
The astronauts in the spacecraft, supposedly.
Lead shielding, yeah.
So, all right, you shot me down again. That's what you're here for.
No, just an opposing viewpoint. it doesn't hold weight with me, but
I mean it would there would be some interference though. So no, you're saying no?
I really don't think so. I think you're talking particulate matter spread over, you know, hundreds of square feet. I just don't see it happening.
There's another conspiracy shot down.
Well, again, it's just an opposing perspective, but a lot of these things sound plausible, you know, unless you really pull them apart.
Right. So, as I was saying, I just got home from Bible study, and we were talking about Corinthians chapter 1 and 2, and you probably recall that, I don't know if it was last week or 2 weeks ago, but I was kind of had like a grudge against Paul because of Romans 13. And so, like, during the day, I'll be listening to a lot of, like, podcasts and stuff about the Bible. And so they started talking about Paul. And I just kept, like I had, like, this grudge, man. And I'm like, nah, he was basically the, in my mind, here's the way I was looking at it. He was, like, the first evangelist, like. He saw an opportunity, and that's what I thought. Like he saw an opportunity, and he took that opportunity. And so I prayed about it, and I'm like, all right, God, help me. Help me. And so the first thing that came in my mind, I'm taking this from God, but he said he wasn't talking to you. This was a letter to the Romans. All right. So that's what was going on at that time. And I also had this, I think maybe because of that, part of the reason I was feeling that way was because he never really walked with Jesus. And it came afterwards. Yeah. That he had that incident on the road to Damascus, but I don't know. There was just something, you know, I had this distrust. And so I don't know if it was God or what, but I started Googling stuff. And it led me to 2 Peter 3:15-16. And so this was while Peter was in prison. And he wrote, he started praising Paul, you know, and saying he was a beloved brother. And so I'm thinking, like, well, Peter definitely walked with Jesus. And who am I to, you know, who am I to? I'm just, I got, you know, people get in their ways, man, and they just think that they know more than everybody else. And I do that. I'm probably the worst at that. And so if Peter is praising this guy, then who am I to doubt the Bible? You know what I mean? But that was something that was in my mind. And it, and I like I said, I think that might have been 2 or 3 weeks ago. But it's been digging at me. But I finally got that figured out today. You know, so.
Man, I wouldn't be too hard on yourself, man. I think kind of like we were talking about Thomas, you know, I think the struggle's real. We all have ups and downs. We all have thoughts. We have worries. We have, you know, all kinds of things pop up in our lives, and we try to make sense of it all the time, you know, and vetting your thoughts out is all you can really do. I pray about it, but, you know, right. Doing some research, kind of squaring up where you're at, talk to people about it, people you trust, you know, it's just a process.
Yeah.
I wouldn't beat yourself up.
No, I'm not really beating myself up, but.
Well, don't.
All right. Are you aware of the Mount Rushmore Hall of Records?
I've heard about this, the tunnel behind the heads, and it's an underground.
Yeah. And it was, I guess they started it and they didn't have the funds to finish it. And so, like, the walls are, like, I have, like, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights. It's all engraved in the walls and stuff, but they just didn't have the money to finish it, or something happened.
Are there pictures of this?
That I don't know. But
I know Mike Rowe talked about it on one of his shows, the Dirty Jobs guy.
Well, before it was Mount Rushmore, it was an Indian, a Native American. What was it? I think it was like the six fathers or the seven fathers or something like that. And it was just, there were no faces, but kind of looked like heads. And then they changed it into Mount Rushmore at some point.
There are pictures of the Hall of Records, by the way.
All right, so the six fathers before Mount Rushmore refers to the Lakota name for the mountain, six grandfathers, which symbolizes ancestral deities. The mountain was called this before it was named Mount Rushmore, and the carving was made. The name represents the six directions: north, south, east, west, sky, and earth. But it was kind of like just more like six peaks. It didn't really look like heads or anything, but you know what I'm saying. Like they, something they prayed to or worshipped or whatever they did. And you were talking about the actual thing behind Lincoln's head or whatever.
Yeah, there's a tunnel back there.
That's some Nicolas Cage shit, ain't it?
Right. Well, this is like the Black Hills Visitor website, so I kind of believe it's true. It's basically they're saying what you said. You know, it started as this idea. They never finished it. It's got some stuff in there, some engravings.
All right, you know who Billy Carson is, right?
No.
No? He's kind of a douchebag. He likes to come up with these theories about we're really from aliens. But I mean, a lot of people get aliens and angels mixed up, but he just acts like he knows everything. You know what I mean? Like, but anyway, to me, he seems kind of demonic. I've always said that. But this dude's got like a helicopter. And he claims that he landed in the Grand Canyon and he wanted to look at these artifacts. And he's saying that there was like a force of guards that told him he couldn't go in there. I find it hard to believe that he just landed a helicopter in the Grand Canyon. What'd you send me? I mean, I see you're sending me stuff on my phone, but I can't.
Okay, sorry. That was just another photograph. This was the architectural drawings proposed by the sculptor for the Hall of Records. It just never happened, like you said.
So what were they going to do? They were going to store all this shit? That doesn't make any sense, does it?
He said the original idea was going to be, it was basically meant to be a memorial. These tablatures would describe the 9 most important events in the history of the United States from 1776 to 1906, from Washington to Roosevelt. The plan failed for 2 reasons. First, it couldn't be made large enough to be read, which is weird. After relocating Jefferson Head, the section of the mountain was needed for Lincoln's head, whatever. So, it was going to be in one of those domes you were talking about. Just didn't work out.
Right. So you were talking to me about something about
the PSYOP stuff.
Yeah. But I mean,
go ahead.
I'm going in a different direction, but I'm saying today's society would like you to believe that the greatest sin of all is being direct or mean. Right? But you mean like when I say direct, like, I don't know. Telling the truth? Being direct? Is that mean or?
It could be.
Some people could view it as being helpful.
Right. Right. It all depends, man. You know, you walk up to a lady and say, geez, your baby's ugly. Could be 100% truthful. Not very nice.
Right. Yeah, no. No, I don't think I would ever do something like that. No,
I'm just saying it's, you know.
It's I get it.
But, you know, friends tend to be a little less filtered. You know, especially guys.
Yeah, right.
Caps all the time, right? That's a stupid idea. What the hell are you thinking? You know, whereas if you were saying that to your wife, you'd go, let's think about it a while.
Right.
Let's let that die on the vine.
Right. Like with Julio. I don't know why or how this started, but everybody fucks with him about being gay. And so, and we got a chat with this other podcast, and this lady just tears into his ass. And it's like, I kind of feel bad for him. But anyway, that's I don't even know how that came up. Yeah. But
talking about friends, kind of puppy, probably. Yeah, I was watching, the Sean Ryan podcast?
Yeah.
And he had a guy on there who I followed for a few years now named Chase Hughes. And Chase Hughes is I think he was Army Intelligence. He's an expert on reading body language. He's an expert on psychological operations and stuff like that. And Sean Ryan was asking him to walk us through what is a PSYOP, how does a PSYOP work? You know, how do we know if it's really a PSYOP? And he used COVID as an example because he's like, that was the best example because they went too far. You know, they got too outlandish. They went too far. People saw what was going on, couldn't believe it, and woke up. And he was just kind of outlining some of the defining characteristics of a psychological operation. And that's what I was texting you about. And, you know, there's a handful of them. I don't know if we want to go down that path, but I really like Chase Hughes a lot. Dude is super smart, and he posts a lot of really helpful shorts. Just like, here's one way to tell if somebody's lying to you. You know, it's some valuable information. So you can watch these people over time and kind of, you know, study their habits if you think they're lying to you. And then there's tells, you know, and you could pick up on them. It's pretty cool. Yeah, he's really smart. But, you know, the stuff they did during COVID, it was all textbook PSYOP, you know, and the right was screaming that from day one. And it wasn't till, you know, 2 years later, most sane people saw what was going on and, you know, agreed that it was all engineered. It was bullshit. And it's like, you know, when there's a dissenting opinion and it's being actively squashed, like doctors are being fired because they're, you know, saying they're going against the narrative, or Twitter accounts are canceled, you know. He's like, that was a huge indicator that something's going on, you know.
But when's it going to stop? Like, even when you talk about it on podcasts like this, there's still a level of shadow banning and stuff that goes on. And it's like, everybody already knows, when are you going to just give up? You know what I mean? Like, until the next big, you know, until their next thing rolls out, I guess. But it's just...
He got really deep into, like, the algorithms, too, and how they use that stuff in order to target you. You know, if he's like, he could sit with somebody and ask some completely benign questions. And he claims he can know more about you and what makes you tick than your psychologist does. And he's like, and it's because of these things. And that's what they milk out of you in social media. And the algorithm is geared toward manipulating like your emotional cycle and stuff. One of the things he pointed out, he's like, the algorithm will put something in your feed that pisses you off. So it gets you ramped really high. Then it'll be something cute, like puppies running in the snow or something. Calm down. And then they'll pop an ad on you. And it's this cycle, you know, they get you worked up, they bring you down, and then you're in an emotionally calm state, and they throw an ad, target ad. He's like, watch for the pattern, you'll see it. And I just saw that this afternoon, so I haven't had time to look at it. But
I'll tell you what, man, Instagram's got my fucking number, because I never buy anything. Like when I need clothes, I will go to the Salvation Army. Literally, like I am a cheapskate. And they run ads for like the unit I was in, which I'm super proud of. So, you know what I mean? Like, it's just shit that I really want to buy. And so I started buying shit like that, you know, or it's like, they'll put t-shirts that say embrace the suck, you know, shit like that. And it's like, damn, that's a badass t-shirt. I want, you know, and I'll buy the shit, man. And it's just like, they've got my number. It's crazy. But
is she in?
Right.
They pay people a lot of money to figure that stuff out.
Right.
That's for sure. Yeah. His point about some of that.
I just got to pause it real quick. I got to get a beer. Since we're recording in the evening, you know what I mean? I'm recording now. We're back. But I like Garage Beer is decent. And I like the fact that they call it beer flavored beer. It's just like, and it's also made in Ohio. So I was buying it for a while, and then I realized, like, it's a little expensive.
I hate how expensive stuff is right now.
Everything, man.
Yeah. It's ridiculous.
Right.
The best deal I've got where I live is this local liquor store sells a 30-pack of Narragansett lagers from Rhode Island. A 30-pack for $23.
Nice.
It's really good beer, too.
Oh, they were selling some shit at Costco for a while that was super cheap, but I guess people complained about it, like Kirkland Light or whatever. Mm. I would have drank the shit out of that. I don't drink beer for the taste. You know what I mean?
Beer fiend.
So, all right, this lady, a Louisiana teacher. Man, this is kind of gross. I don't even like to bring it up here. Louisiana teacher sentenced to 41 years in prison for serving her students cupcakes laced with her husband's sperm.
Ew. Oh, for freaking Pete's sake.
All right, let me see if I can expand this. I can't read it all.
The hell.
Okay. The woman is Cynthia Perkins, a former teacher from Louisiana, who in 2022 was sentenced to 41 years in prison after pleading guilty to a series of disturbing crimes involving her ex-husband, Dennis Perkins, a former sheriff's lieutenant. Cynthia admitted to several offenses, including serving her students cupcakes tainted with her husband's bodily fluids. The crimes came to light in 2019 when authorities found extensive evidence on the couple's electronic devices, linking them to numerous acts of abuse and misconduct. Cynthia agreed to a plea deal to avoid trial and testified against her husband, who is now serving a 100-year prison sentence without the possibility of parole. The case shocked both the local community and the broader public due to the depravity of the acts and the couple's positions of trust. One, a school teacher, and the other, a law enforcement officer. Cynthia Perkins' guilty plea and sentencing marked the end of one of the most disturbing criminal cases in Louisiana history. Man, that is creepy. What the fuck were they thinking?
Reason 575 to homeschool.
Right. I'm telling you, man.
No sperm cupcakes.
If I could do it all over again, I would homeschool my kids 100%.
It's definitely got its ups and downs, but overall, yeah, it was worth it.
Well, society doesn't want it that way. That's why they, you know, you need two incomes now. That way you can let the government be in control of your children and all that.
So, hey, I wanted to get back on that PSYOP thing really fast because I was going somewhere with it.
Okay. And
I sent you the YouTube link in the Zoom chat and just suggested maybe we could put it in the show notes or something. But that's with Sean Ryan and Chase Hughes. But in there, he's talking about the algorithm figures you out, and now it can serve you not just content, but it could be used for malevolent purposes, you know? And his point was that what was that comment I made to you? If they can, so he used the example, like you take a shower, right? And in order to take a shower, you take all your clothes off. You're going to get naked. So at some point during the day, you're going to get completely naked. You're not going to do it on this podcast, right? Because that's the context. The context of your behavior is set by the routine, by the circumstances, by where you're at. If somebody can change your perception of the context, they could possibly get you to do something you would never do. And he gave an example of a hypnotist. It was a lawyer who learned hypnotism, and he hypnotized this woman client of his, and he would tell her things like, you just got home from a hard day at work, you've turned on the shower, it's nice and hot, and she would just undress in his office.
Holy.
He got busted for it. But the point was, it was a context she knew, so it wasn't something foreign to her. She would get naked to get in the shower, right? And he was able to use that and reset her perception of the context to a completely different situation. And her brain would take her through the process. And he's just saying that's kind of an extreme example, but a lot of social media is very hypnotic. You know, TikTok, doom scrolling, all that crap is an effective way of hypnotizing us. So the amount of power we've given the government, and we saw this under Obama and under Biden, you know, where the White House used its power to manipulate social media. The algorithms already got you pegged. They know you're a conservative. They know you're a gun lover. They know all these things about you, right? They know what'll set you off. They know what will. And so they can work that emotional curve on you and get you upset and then calm you down and make you really happy and then feed you with news that, like, maybe like Thomas Crooks, there's evidence that shows that, you know, he was a Trump supporter and that somebody got involved with him in like 2019 and started nudging him in the opposite direction, you know? So that's what Chase was talking about. So it's like, it's not just for ad service. It's for manipulating all of us in ways that may be beyond Twitter or X or Facebook or whatever. It may be government entity. Could be Mossad. It could be, you know, whoever.
Let me ask you this. I have this feeling that. So let's go back to that psychiatrist or whatever that made the lady undress. Mm-hmm. Do you think, like, of course he scoped her out first, because I don't think we're all the same in that capacity. Like, for instance, I don't think I could be manipulated in that way. I really don't. I think, like you said, like, no, listen, like you took, you said Thomas Crooks, right?
Yeah.
Okay, now he was on SSRIs, just like most of the other school shooters are. You know, and who knows what about this lady now? If she was already in therapy.
Who's her lawyer?
Yeah, but she was in. Now, okay, what are you saying now?
It was her lawyer, and her lawyer learned hypnosis.
Oh, okay. And I thought you were saying it was her psychiatrist.
Yeah, I said that at the very beginning, and I corrected myself.
Okay.
It was a lawyer.
Wow, that's even more screwed up.
Yeah, that's some Dr. Evil level crap right there.
Yeah. But perhaps she was, like I said, the SSRIs, or maybe she was already at a higher risk. And, I mean, he had to have. You don't just try that out of the blue. You know, he had to, you know, who knows? I don't know.
Yeah. See, Ohio divorce attorney Michael Fine sentenced to 12 years for hypnotizing 6 female clients.
Oh, 6.
Crazy.
Wow.
Freaking crazy. This is back in 2017.
And so he did it all the same with all of them. He just made them undress in his office.
Something. Yeah, one of the ladies noticed, like, her bra wasn't fitting quite right.
And how do you get undressed, redressed, and don't remember anything? That's crazy, dude.
Crazy.
What part of Ohio?
Fucker. Let's see. Divorce attorney. So, what a jerk.
Does it say?
The site is interjecting snap government shutdown crap. Elvira. I don't think that's too far from you, is it? Elira.
Oh, Elyria. That's in Cleveland.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Cleveland. I'm going to share this clip.
Crazy.
I'm going to share this clip with John Wayne. Hold on. Shit. I fucked up.
Bad for our country.
I'm going to start over. I fucked up.
I think opening doors and tipping your hat to ladies is probably a thing of the past. We're being represented by men who are kowtowing to minorities where they can get votes. And I think it's bad for our country. They shouldn't. There shouldn't be so much whining and bellyaching. True, I think they do have a right to more rights, but it isn't a thing where the rest of the country should feel terribly guilty about anything, because they have had a better life here and their fathers and mothers than they would have had any place else. And I want to see them have everything. I want. I don't squawk and cry baby and say, geez, I had to go without meals when I was 16 and 17 years old. It's a terrible thing. I don't think that you should look back and whine and bellyache or try to hold somebody else guilty for everything you did. I think
good old John Wayne. They didn't really put it into context what he was talking about, but I get the idea.
Civil rights movement.
Yeah.
Of, you know, some portion of it. He's...
I don't want to interrupt. It sounded like you had something to say.
No. I sent you a link for that article.
Okay.
What are your thoughts on that John Wayne clip? Why'd you share it?
Because I miss people being able to speak their mind. And it was probably about black people or something like that. I don't really know what it was about, but I got a lot of black friends that, you know, they probably feel the same way. Or at least when they talk to me, they do. You know what I mean? So people don't want to hear whining, man. And you're not allowed to talk about that anymore.
Yeah, I thought for the most part, we pretty much solved most of those errors in a societal structure, you know, back civil rights. I mean, I don't agree with affirmative action, but on the other hand, they were also trying, the people who were behind passing it were trying to right a wrong of the past. And I think the way you right the wrong of the past is to stop it. It's like slavery. You know, we ended slavery. That's not, it's no reward. I mean, well, how do I say this? Slaves were also given homesteading, acreage, all kinds of, you know, what was it? 30 acres and a mule or something like that. Which is a drop in the bucket for having been treated the way they were treated, but it was the federal government, in effect, giving them these reparations for what the Democrats did to them, which right. is really the way it is, you know, the Democrat Southerners and having slaves. And then it wasn't great, right? Especially in the Southern states with just separation of, you know, whites and non-whites. And that lasted all through, you know, World War II and into the 50s. And so seeing that broken up was a very, very good thing for our society, you know? And again, I don't agree with affirmative action, because it's basically like the germ, you know, the originating idea of kind of woke politics and DEI, right? You're being chosen for your color. You're being chosen for this. It's this idea of promoting somebody because of an immutable characteristic that they have no control over whatsoever. You were born white. I was born white. You know, other folks are born other colors. There's nothing you could do about that. So putting somebody in a bad position because of that, or promoting somebody because of that, both of those things are bad. They're equally as bad. They're both racist. And that's where it all went horribly wrong. You know, we did this racist thing called affirmative action in the guise of helping people that had been harmed, which is a noble concept, but the government had no business doing that. This is all my opinion. Right?
Well,
And then for modern day non, I'll just say this in the context of the conversation, non-whites, just to say anybody who's not white, for modern day non-white people to use John Wayne's words, to bellyache about slavery, dude, really? It's 2025. That's what you want to talk about?
Well, you know who should really be bitching is the Native Americans, because they were forced in onto reservations, which was basically forced welfare. At least the blacks had an opportunity to say yes or no. I mean,
just the enemy, right?
You're not stuck there, I guess, but
I mean, the Native Americans in a lot of contexts waging war against the settlers, you know, like, you know, one of the, my wife was just telling me about, she read, I think it's a McCulloch book called The Pioneers. And one of the things the Indians would do was the first year that the pioneers established, you know, an encampment or a fort or something, is they would wipe out all of the wildlife within like 20 miles.
Yeah.
And they force the people out to go out and, you know, hunt for food way far away from their comfort zone and protection, and they wipe them out, you know? And so what did that do? Well, that pissed off the settlers. And then, you know, then you get guys who have a loose moral interpretation of what murder is. And they, right. You know, they go out with freaking cap and ball rifles and wipe out every Indian they can lay their hands on. You know, it was just like this vicious cycle.
Yeah. And all the buffaloes. You ever see that picture of the
that
mountain of buffalo skulls or whatever?
And that was our retaliation. That was our retaliation against kind of like what the Indians did to us. We did it times 100. You know, we just obliterated everything that they cared for. If they hadn't been so antagonistic, it probably would have gone a little different. But my point was that blacks were never the enemy, but the Native Americans were the enemy, and they put themselves in that position, unfortunately. And it just, you know, to in my opinion, that's just kind of the way the cookie crumbles. You know, I mean, Indians fighting a noble fight. Yeah, you could say that, you know, they believed the land belonged to no one, and they were trying to maintain an even strain with nature and their, you know, but they beat the shit out of each other too. They weren't
right. That's exactly. I got black buddies that I argue with this shit about. Half the time, I don't know if they're joking or being serious, but I'm like, look, it's survival of the fittest. You know, got men been fighting over land and pussy since the beginning of time. You should have fought harder. You know. And I mean, I'm joking around, but I'm really not. It's like,
unfortunately, it's the unfortunate fact, right?
Yeah. You know, okay. So,
and it goes back, right? Name all the, you know, the French explorers, the Spanish explorers, the Dutch, the Vikings, you know, Genghis Khan, who by far was the worst in history. Of into foreign lands and obliterating populations. But what he cut the world's population by half
is what I mean. I don't know if they had the ability to count shit like that back then, but that's what I've heard too. But it's crazy
that, and he would impregnate the women, like he would, you know, and so he diluted the gene pools, he wiped out the men. I mean, there's plenty of historic characters that were way shittier than the Americans ever were. It doesn't make it right. It just adds context. You know?
Right.
Why are you belly aching?
Yeah.
You could be raped by Genghis Khan. Shut up.
We've probably all got a little Genghis Khan in us.
I wouldn't doubt it.
Right.
Would not freaking doubt it. Well, that's, you know... This seems to come up every time we talk. This is kind of a Mormon thing. You know, part of the Mormon belief system was that, you know, there were these two Indian tribes in the Americas, the Nephites and the Lamanites, and they supposedly came here with boats, actually submarines. They were like completely airtight or watertight vessels that they came across the oceans. Anyway, there have been a number of studies done on the ancestral, you know, the genomes, the DNA, and the historical references for native peoples of Alaska down through Canada, North America, South America, Brazil, Chile, you know, and in we're talking like Native Americans, right? And they all share a Mongol DNA component. And that is 100%, well, I believe that's Genghis Khan, but part of that was the land bridge, you know, up in Alaska. There was a boulevard to get from, you know, China and Mongolia down into North and South America. And the Native Americans' DNA has got Mongol DNA in it. You know, they're offspring of Chinese people at some level. It was diluted in there. There's Spanish, there's other stuff too, but
right.
I just find that to be pretty funny. There's no Jewish DNA in Native Americans, which is what Joseph Smith was writing about. So that's going back to why I brought that up. But
I put Mormonism right up there with Scientology. It's about as believable. They're both equal to me.
Scientology or Christian Scientists?
Well, L. Ron Hubbard was a student of Aleister Crowley. We don't have much time left here, but we can get into that next week. But yeah. You know about the Babylon Rising thing out in the desert with Jack Parsons and L. Ron Hubbard?
No.
They were trying to summon the Babylonian goddess with sex magic, and L. Ron Hubbard wound up convincing Jack Parsons that he needed to fuck his wife, which happens a lot in cults.
Yeah, right.
But it was only a two-man cult at that point. But
wow,
it's crazy because Jack Parsons was he was like one of the main rocket guys. You know, he was a rocket scientist, and they all have this, it goes back to Babylon, like they all have this thing where they want to penetrate the, you know, they want to, you know what I mean? Like, what do they call the that separates the heavens up here?
Firmament?
The firmament. They all wanted to penetrate. It goes back to Nimrod, you know. They all want to penetrate the firmament. You know, they're all into this evil worship, and you know, it's all the same mindset. You know, there's nothing new under the sun, as they say.
They wanted to penetrate their buddy's wife,
right? And he did.
Accomplishment.
And then they ran off.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's, yeah, there's something about that. I've never heard of that before, though. It's crazy.
Babylon. Oh, well, I'll mark that down for next week. Talk about the, I called it Babylon Rising. I think it's called Babylon Working. They were trying to, I did that on an episode one time. called it Babylon Rising instead of Babylon Working, because we talked about that. But yeah, man, they were out in the middle of the desert, and he just convinced him that he needed to bang his wife. And now you got Tom Cruise and all these other people following that dude's religion, man. It's insane. It is a cult. It's like, I don't know. All right.
Yeah. Yep.
Ready to wrap it up?
Sure. I'm out of ideas.
What's that?
I'm out of ideas. I got to go polish my guns back there.
I think you got more than that.
No comment.
All right. Any questions, comments, bitches, gripes, complaints, conspiracysoldiers@yahoo.com. Send us an email. Conspiracy Soldiers on Instagram, YouTube, Rumble. Send us a text or a voicemail. 313-583-7646. Or 31 Flu Frog 6. FLU as in the Wuhan flu from China. All right. You got anything else?
Nope. I'm good.
All right, man. Thanks for coming on. I'll catch you next week.
Good talking.
All right. Conspiracy Soldiers is going dark.